1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Homecoming. What a good thing to do every year, to stop and thank God for what He's done, what He is doing, what He will do. And that is certainly the intention of today, is to celebrate all things past, present, and future in relation to Bethel Baptist Church. So I've got here as a simple title, Happy Birthday Bethel 120, May 6th, which obviously today's the 19th, but again, third Sunday in May is when we celebrate our birthday. Our past, our present, what a story. What a story. Now, we're going to start here in 1 Timothy chapter, 3. Verse 15 and 16. Let's stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Paul, of course, is speaking to Timothy. But if I tarry long, Paul says, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Now, you would think that Paul is fixing to list the rules that all of you know about Baptist churches. Rule number one, don't you run in church, Daryl Kimsey. Don't you run in church. Were you ever told that by Mama Kimsey?
No.
Huh?
Yeah, he already, by Craig. Craig's pointing to himself. You heard it. There you go. All right. And I'm messing with Daryl. I was told that from day one. The moment I could listen, you don't run in church. One of the first things I did when I got here, and Mama wasn't here, none of y'all were here, I ran in church just to say I could. No, I'm messing with you. All right. How thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. So he's not going to be talking about these little rules that you and I have. He's going to be talking about foundationally how you and I ought to see this thing we call the house of God. Here it is. Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Now listen, he's preaching a sermon right here. God was manifest in the flesh. Who is that? Jesus. Justified in the Spirit. Seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the Word, received up in the glory. If you believe those tenets, you believe the gospel. If you believe that Jesus came in flesh and He was possessed of the Spirit and then He rose again, you believe that Jesus is the only payment for your sin. That's the gospel. And that's what this church in 1899 believed. And it's what we believe in 2019, 120 years later. In church, you ought not take that for granted. That doesn't happen everywhere. And watch it. It won't happen here if we don't keep doing what we have done to get us to this point and still believe this precious word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. Before I dive into my points, I want to share with you what, in my humble opinion, this scripture is saying. To know how we ought to behave in the house of God that is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now, Brother Gavin has taught us, and I think rightly so, that truth is a person. Amen. Truth is a person. His name is Jesus. And Paul, per the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has written that the church is the pillar, the ground, the support of Jesus. The truth. That's who we are. You see, this little thing back here, that's a column. If you will, that's an example of a pillar. Here is a column. It's an example of a pillar. It's holding something up. And Paul is saying that you and I, as the church of Jesus Christ, we are the pillar, the ground of the truth. Church, if we drop the ball, the world goes to hell.
Amen.
It's just the truth of it. If you and I quit preaching the truth, we're no longer doing what made us a church. Now, I believe the best definition of church out there is a visible, local body of called out believers. That's a biblical definition of who and what who a church is. A visible, local body of called out believers. The reason that we do not believe that the church is a mystical, universal body is because the Scripture doesn't support that. The Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about how God has put within each church the members of the body. So according to Scripture, this church has everything she needs to represent Jesus Christ to this community. She does. We're not an eye and our foot is in China. That's a dismembered body. That's a universal, mystical body. But the Bible says that you and I are local, visible, you can see it, called out body of believers. But what were we called out to do, church? We were called out to uphold the truth.
Amen.
So if you want to know about gender confusion, who should you be able to go to? The church. You should be able to go to the church because she's going to uphold the truth. If you want to know the only way to get to heaven, who should you go to? The church, because she's going to tell you the truth. And you just go right down the line. Fill in the blank. Whatever social ill we're struggling with as a society, as a culture, you should biblically be able to go to the local church and they're going to uphold the truth. But church, that's not happening. Throughout this nation, that's not happening. Throughout this world, that's not happening, except in the churches that have refused to go along and get along. And for the churches that have said, you know what, we love you and we love Jesus, and there shouldn't be a conflict there.
Amen.
So we're going to love Jesus enough to love you enough to tell you the truth, even though the truth may hurt. So wives, when you go to your husband, and I'm going to recommend that you don't do this. Does this dress make me look fat? Husbands, if you're wise, you'll never answer that question type thing. But here's my point. Wives, if you really want your husband to love you, you really want him to tell you the truth type thing. But that seldom really goes well, does it? Because we don't want to hear the truth. What we're really asking for is an accolade. We're asking for encouragement. And what's my standard answer, babe? Do you like it? Does it look good to you, hon? If it looks good to you, it looks good to me because I am all in for you. You my baby. All of yous. I'm in. You see what I'm saying, church? Now listen to me. So when we go to the world, and the world comes to us and they want to, does this sin make me look bad? We love you. We love you, and we love you enough that we're going to tell you the absolute truth. And the truth is that every sin will destroy you. Left to its own devices, church, overeating will destroy you. Alcoholism will destroy you. Just go right down the list. And I love Jesus, and I love you enough to tell you the truth. And that's who we are called to be. That is why I believe that God has preserved us for 120 years is because we have faithfully, by His grace and power, preached the truth. And that's how we will preserve another 120 years if God tarries his coming. Point number one, under our past, our present, what a story. Point number one is what we believed then and what we believe now. I have the first books from 1899 to 1911, from 1912 to 1930 type thing. I have all those books over in the desk in my office. And out of that, Sister Elizabeth Bruns, who many of her family is still represented here today, she, because it's kind of tough reading, it's handwritten and it's on paper that's 120 years old. And she put that on, you know, modern paper about 20 years ago or so. I want you to hear the Articles of Faith, 1899. We believe that the Holy Bible, written by men, divinely inspired and full of unmixed truth, is a perfect rule of faith and practice. Y'all heard that before? Something I say on a common, constant, it's on a loop in my head. The Word of God is our only rule for faith and practice. Number two, we believe in one God, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Number three, we believe that men, once holy, fell by voluntary transgression from that happy state and is now utterly void of holiness. You ever heard the preacher say, there's nothing inside of you that will commend you to God? Amen. Same thing. Number four, we believe that sinners are saved by grace alone. Amen. Number five, we believe that men are justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number six, we believe that salvation is free to all who will accept the gospel. Number seven, we believe that except a man be renewed by the Holy Spirit, he's not qualified or prepared for the kingdom of Christ on earth or to enjoy his glory hereafter. You have to be drawn by the Holy Spirit to be saved. Number eight, we believe that repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are the duties of everyone who hears the gospel. Once you hear the gospel, you are responsible for the gospel. Amen. And you need to respond. If you want to have a climate-controlled eternity, you need to respond in faith to the gospel of Christ. Number nine, we believe that election is the eternal purpose of God by which he graciously regenerates, sanctifies, and saves sinners. Number 10, we believe that sanctification begun in regeneration and every progressive is the process by which we are made to partake of God's holiness. Now, these are pretty lofty words. You know, if we're not careful, we look at the folks of 120 years ago and we think of them as kind of bumpkins. If we're not careful. Especially in a rural area. But do you understand that some of our elites of our day, they have for sure BAs, Bachelor of Science degrees, they have master's degrees, and some of them had doctorates. When they started reading the Federalist Papers, they had to go get help to understand. And do you know what one of the principal English books in those days to teach the alphabet and was the King James Bible. And these people were so educated because of what they had been exposed to in God's Word that the equivalent is that they wrote on a doctorate level. Amen. And here are the farmers of 1899 saying words that you and I are like, page? help me understand that. All I'm trying to tell you is these people knew what they were talking about. Look at here. We believe in the perseverance of the saints. We call it once saved, always saved. Number 12, we believe that God's law is the only, the eternal, and unchangeable rule of his church and moral government. That's talking about the Word of God. Number 13, we believe that a church of Christ is a congregation of baptized believers united in faith and fellowship of the gospel, observing the ordinances and obeying the laws of Christ, and that its officers are pastors and deacons. We still practice that. Number 14, we believe that Christian baptism is the immersion of a believer in water by a properly qualified administrator into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. 120 years ago. Number 15, we believe that only such as have been properly baptized and received into the fellowship of a regularly organized Baptist church should partake of the Lord's Supper. Closed communion. We believe that 120 years later. Number 16, we believe that the Lord's Day or Christian Sabbath should be devoutly observed and sacredly devoted to religious services. You do too, or you wouldn't be here today. Praise God. Look at 16. We believe that civil government is of divine appointment and that the governors of states and nations should be obeyed when the laws they seek to enforce are not in conflict with the gospel. We believe in the future resurrection of the dead. Praise God. We believe in the final judgment, and that in that day the righteous and wicked will be separated forever. Folks, they believe what you and I believe. We believe that the righteous will be made happy forever in heaven, and that the wicked will endure punishment forever in hell. What a sobering doctrine. What a sobering belief. Because your family, some of your family, if you're here today, if you do not know, God forbid, if you were to die and go, if you were to die tonight, do you know that you would go to heaven? If you do not, we're going to have an invitation here in just a few moments, and we would love to share the glorious gospel of Christ with you. Point number two. Who led us then? And who led us now? And let me just say this to put a fine point on this. Our doctrinal statement does not read like this, but it is this. These foundational truths are found still to this day in our doctrinal statement. Point number two, who led us then? Who led us now? I'm not going to get into names because, Lord help, I do not know all the pastors of 120 years. I will tell you this. God has been faithful to this fellowship that very few times has there been a pastor just for 2 or 3 years. Usually, Squire Frederick Burnett, S.F. Burnett, pastored this church for 17 years. I'm not trying to do anything but just tell you the historical fact. Up to his tenure, he was the longest tenured pastor at Bethel Baptist Church. Some hillbilly from Arkansas has now outdone that. His name's Ben Kingston. 21 years. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. All glory to God. So who led us then? Here it is. God called men and women of the church committed to the perpetual health of the church. That's who led us then. That's who's leading us now. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I'm telling you before God that as long as I'm doing right, I'm going to serve the Lord for His glory. Todd Walters feels the same. Brad Bannerman feels the same. Mandy Miller feels the same. Brad Miller feels the same. Stacy Hatfield feels the same. Shirley Rapold feels the same. Who have I missed? Tom, yes. Well, I was starting with the paid staff first, but absolutely, Tom Nays feels the same. All of their husbands and wives feel the same. Our Sunday school teachers feel the same. Our Awana leaders feel the same. Our CR leaders feel the same. And if I missed your ministry, it's because of a 53-year-old memory. It wasn't because on purpose. Our church are led by people that are absolutely committed to the Word of God. Point number three. Exciting times then and exciting times now. Now, I want you to hear me. Because if you go out here and you try to quote me and you get me wrong, we're going to have an issue. Bethel Baptist Church is as positive, friendly, loving, supportive of Oak Grove Church as we can be. Amen, church? Amen. The historical facts are, according to our side, and you always know there's two sides to every story, but I've only got this side. In 1899, for whatever reason, M.M. Hamlin had fallen out of favor with the folks on that side of Pierce Creek. So when the creek got up, this side couldn't get there. So they had an emergency business meeting, and they churched the preacher. They got rid of it. When Pierce Creek got down and all these folks got back over, they're like, oh, my goodness. And so they came over here. Up the way was a little schoolhouse where they held their first meeting, and they started Bethel Baptist Church. They did in 1899. And I can show you with my finger on the written page where it says, we wanted a place to worship God. Folks, that is a pure motive. That is a pure motive. And so that's what started. That was exciting times. They were faithful in the lean times. I can show you that some of their offerings was $3.19 type thing. They accentuated the positives. They didn't go on a, what would the word be? They didn't go on a campaign to put down the former church. It's my understanding that the former church ended up giving an arm to this church. That's my understanding. Whether that's completely accurate, I do not know. But I know this. We are in good standing now, and that's all that matters. They had a radio ministry. At one point in time in the history of this church had a radio ministry. You know what else they had? A traveling choir. That choir would go to that radio station and sing for God's glory for a service of Bethel to the community here in this area. They weathered tough business meetings. I had some folks, well, Don Cresilius was one of them, was doing this when I was telling. I'm told, because I wasn't here, there was a particularly anxious, very difficult business meeting because the preacher and another staff member didn't get along. And so the one guy was trying to fire the other guy, and this guy was trying to fire this guy. Can you imagine? Praise God, as far as I know, if this isn't the case, I need Brad and Todd to talk to me. As far as I know, that's not going on. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. But it was then. And a particular church member stood up in that business meeting. You know what he said? For the sake of the church, brethren, I think you both need to go. And they did. And do you know what happened? Right after that, the next guy that came called Dr. Sperling, David Sperling, he's known as Doc because he has his doctorate degree. He came and within about 6 months got a liver issue and just about died on the church. Kidney, thank you. Kidney. God forbid I get the wrong organ. No, man. Amen. No, but they were here. They were here. And they know exactly what I'm talking about. This church rallied around Doc Sperling. Do you think this church probably needed that to happen? Yeah, because this part of the church type thing wanted this guy to stay. This part of the church wanted this guy to stay, but they both left because it was what was best for the church. And so now the new guy comes, and God uses him through an illness, and he's still alive today, hallelujah, praise the Lamb, to unify the church. And we wouldn't even be here if that would have went the way the devil wanted it to go. Amen, church? Isn't that awesome? God has preserved you a place to worship for His glory. They supported, I said that, supported pastors during tough seasons, started new ministries when needed. I really didn't have this in my notes, but it just kind of came out in first service, and it's accurate, and I like how it puts me in the light. You're going to see it in just a minute. Do you know who is against starting Awana? Me. Y'all had just hired me. I was your youth director. We had 20 kids coming on a Wednesday night. I thought that was pretty good. And we wanted to start Awana as a church. And I studied it and I looked into it. I wasn't for it. You know why? I figured once things got going, you'd fire me type thing. I was insecure, immature, and extremely ignorant. Yeah. The first, I told you, I like the way it puts me in light because that's just the truth. Watch this. The first night of Awana, Brother Darrell, we went from averaging 20 to 60. Do you know why? Because more people were ministering to the kids. And when it comes to people of the church doing the ministry, more is always better. Remember, we want to build a ministry that one fella can't keep up with. That's why Brother Todd was pointing you towards Sunday school. Those Sunday school classes are going to love on you. Amen. One of the first things I did when Brother Dean lost his dad is I sent a text to his teacher. I wanted that class to know. And they loved on him. Betsy was there before we were at the visitation Friday because she's in his Sunday school class. And she was loving on Brenda and Dean. Boy, that's how it works, church. That's getting under the spout where the glory comes out. And we've supported Betsy in her losses and Steve. And that's how it works, church. We support each other. This is all under the part of exciting times then, exciting times now. Point number four, dreams then and dreams now. Folks, in my humble opinion, the dream in 1899 was to make it to 1900. And in 1900, the dream was to make it to 1901. The dream was to survive. The stated dream, of course, was to have a place to worship, and God will always honor that dream. So, church, what's the dream now? Well, in my humble opinion, we ought not worry about surviving. We ought to be concerned about thriving. Amen. We ought to thrive as a church. Listen to what God has done for us. We have 18 acres, church, on the hill. God is preparing us for a dream. To thrive, steady attendance, hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Vibrant staff that I've already tried to let you know, I'm just couldn't be more thrilled about how God is using them. New office complex, renovated parsonage, abundant financial support, faithful tithers, and here you go, debt free. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Let's give God a hand on that. Healthy ministries, spiritual deacons, fun atmosphere. It ought to be fun to come to church. It ought to be, and God is doing that. So I'm real close to finishing. And amens rang throughout the building. Here we go. So I'm going to recap with using the word O-U-R, our. I'm going to recap. Our assets, based on everything I've just told you, our assets, here we go. Our power, Jesus. Enough said. Our people, saved by Jesus. Our past, faithful to Jesus. Our present, full of Jesus. Look what God just did in Easter Walk. Full of Jesus. Look what God did through VBS last year. Had at least two kids saved that are now members of the church. Baptized one of them a few weeks ago. And we got VBS coming within a few weeks. Our present is full of Jesus. Our position for the future. Provided for by Jesus. Our problems. You ready? Overcome by Jesus. I have to believe that everything in church, we got issues. Can I tell you the truth? Any church that's honest has issues. I shared with First Service, these are the top issues that I believe we have as a church. And remember, they're overcome by Jesus. Discipleship. We need to get better. We need to be faithful to biblical discipleship. Growth. Answers. Church, look around. There's not a lot of room for addition in the second service. We probably need to start having those growth answers to three services and the such. Plans to possess the new property. Those are potential problems, but they're overcome by Jesus. Jesus has the answers to every one of those challenges. Musicians, will you come? Let's all stand. I've just got a few more things I want to say to you. I want to take you back. For our young people, you're just going to have to believe me on this. For our folks that are 40, maybe even 30 and above, you're going to understand this a little, maybe a lot. In 1960, can you imagine going to Japan to be a missionary? In 1960, they're still reeling from Nagasaki and Hiroshima. In 1960, they're still reeling from losing a world war. They're still struggling with who are we as a country. And so a missionary goes with Baptist doctrine, Bible doctrine. And he starts preaching and teaching and trying to win them to Christ. He walks past the Shaolin Temple. So he walked in. And he went into the guy, the owner of the house, and he was the priest of the Shaolin Temple. Basically, he was trying to grow a church for Shaolin, the temple. And this preacher just starts witnessing to him. And over a period of weeks and maybe months, the man takes the sign down. He accepts Jesus as his Savior. He surrenders to preach, and he puts up a new sign. Baptist Church. In the house that was committed to Shaolin Temple, now a Baptist church. How did it happen? One person at a time. So please hear this statement. Attention to addition will lead to multiplication. As you win your friend, 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 all of a sudden, as those friends come and they walk the aisle And they don't have to walk the aisle. We can just show up in the baptismal pool, right? The church grows. The church grows. And it's addition from your standpoint, but it becomes multiplication. The Bible says that my job is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. What's the work of the ministry? The Great Commission. Winning people one at a time. So here's the challenge, church. 120th anniversary. As each member and attender takes the health and growth of the church as their personal responsibility, we will grow. We will grow. So, if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, it couldn't get any better than if you would walk the aisle today. And I'll send you with someone gender appropriate. They'll share the gospel with you. But if you're here today and you know Jesus, you're not a member, we'd love to make that right. Come on in. Let's join the church today type thing. If you need scriptural baptism, whatever the case may be, but maybe you just need to come here and you just need to say, Lord, I'm thankful for our past. I'm thankful for our present, and I'm begging you to show us how to achieve what you want us to do for our future, for the glory of your name. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you for Bethel Baptist Church. I thank you for M.M. Hamlin and all the pastors that have preceded or succeeded him. I thank you, Father, for all the faithful women and children and men who have carried the banner of the gospel of Christ in this church. Lord, if anyone here thinks that I'm trying to tell them that this is the best church or it's a better church, that there's just no way. I will never carry that banner. The only banner I want to carry is that we are a voice for you. We are a faithful voice. We are a local, visible, called out body of believers. That's all we are. And that's who and what you've called us to be. So, Father, I pray that you'll brood over these hearts right now. Father, search them. If there's a person here that is not giving their full attention to the gospel of you, help us to do that. Help us to repent and help us to give our full attention that the health and the growth of this church will be our personal responsibility. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Will you come?